Well, good afternoon. Greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. I can say I was richly blessed and challenged today already. I enjoyed all the subjects that were had. And this has been a real blessing. Extracurricular. And the topic assigned to me is class trips. I will be looking at, in this little pamphlet here, you will see four questions. I'll endeavor to answer them. Spent most of my time in the last two. The first two will go through rather briefly. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but that's the way it's going to be this afternoon. What we see in the OnStart here is class trips are always a highlight for students and teachers alike. We all enjoy planning them, participating in them, as well as reminiscing on them. However, I see four qualities there, characters that are essential for classrooms, and that will be make school trips effective. First of all, we have students and teachers mentioned. These are highlights. I think we should put board members in there, board members as well. Are you seeing school trips as a highlight? We see teamwork here, very essential for planning school trips and coordinating them, and we'll be looking at a bit of that later. But we have students and teachers, we have board members, speaking to board members this afternoon, working together and planning school trips. We all enjoy planning them. I see the word enjoying standing out there, and enthusiasm. Very important. If we want to learn something, we ought to be enthused about it. It's very difficult to teach somebody something that isn't enthused, that would sooner not. So we have that. We have participating in them. We have engagement. We are in it. And it is a part of our enthusiasm as well. We're engaged. And then lastly, we all, as well as reminiscing. We're going to experience something that we're not going to forget. Something that sticks. And I think those are characteristics that we endeavor to keep alive in our classrooms and will make class trips worthwhile. First question, are class trips simply a reward for work well done? I'm not sure what you think, but my answer is no, for two reasons. First of all, did all your students do their best? I appreciate Brother Robert's emphasis on doing their best rather than all reaching the same mark, perhaps. Are they doing their best? Did they all do their best? They're all going to get the same reward. Secondly, and more importantly, I think, is it's out of date most of the time. If the school trip is, or the class trip is going to be the reward, 95% of the time it's out of date. I believe rewards ought to be attached to a job well done. They need to be rewarded. It can be extra skating, extra baseball, whatever the reward, but keep them connected. They feel it's appreciated, and I think it's going to help the next question out, and that is maybe they are a break for class boredom. Is class trips, ought they be to assist in breaking up the class boredom? I believe not. If that's the intent, we'll be disappointed. It's going to be short-lived. It might give a little boost, but it'll soon be back where it was. So, we're going to look at question three. So why do we go on class trips? If it's not for class boredom, if it's not for reward, I'm not saying it can't be any of that, but that ought not be the purpose of planning class trips. Class trips are designed to connect the textbook to real life. I believe that's one reason. Connecting the textbook to real life. Class trips must complement and ideally enhance your education goals. I believe ideally that's what classroom trips should be designed to do, to enhance and complement our education goals. All right, number two, to aspire both teachers and students. They were both mentioned there. Aspire, meaning to seek to attain or accomplish a particular goal. To move or extend upward. We're seeing a stretching happening here. We got the textbook. We're into a study, whether it's glass blowing or pottery making or stargazing. Those are all class trips that can be very beneficial. Now we're seeing it with our eyes. In Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, may be taken out of context somewhat, but I think the principle is we are maybe more acquainted with the term, oh, I see what you mean. Seeing it. Some people, they get more out of actually seeing it happen than reading about it. And now we're connecting both of them. I see what you mean. There is a light come on that wasn't on before. And very normally that puts a smile of satisfaction on a teacher's face. So that's an intent to aspire both teachers and students. Number three, class trip should be an endeavor to touch the palate. Class trips should be an endeavor to touch the palate. Now, what's the palate? I understand that palate is derived from a Latin word. The location of a palate is the roof of the mouth separating the mouth from the nasal cavities, or the nasal cavity. So what has that got to do with class trips? What does it do? What does a palate do? The purpose of a palate, the use of what the palate does, intellectual taste or liking. It's developed in the top of your mouth. For example, a newborn baby introduced to milk arouses an excitement for more. So now all of a sudden we've got a mechanism up in the top of our mouth that is saying, I like that. I want more of it. And I think that's one of the endeavors a class trip can have, and that is touching the palate of the student, developing an desire for more, just like that little infant. It is noteworthy that we can train the palate. For example, I'm guessing in a crowd like this, I'm not sure, it would be interesting to take a show of hands. How many enjoy olives? Let's do that. How many enjoy olives? Wow, That looks good. All right. We have a lot of people that enjoy olives. They don't just eat them because they have to, but they love them. Now, what do you think if your mom would have given you olive juice day one? It wouldn't have been a good thing. You would have rejected it, right? It would have been the last thing on the agenda. That palate refused it. But over the course of time, you worked on it and introduced other foods. And now you have developed an appetite that you're not just eating olives because they're on the table. You're eating olives because they're there and you love them. And you hardly know when to quit. You developed an enthusiasm, a desire for it. And I think Brother Albert maybe touched a bit on this thought of not doing it because we have to, but we have developed an appetite. We're now doing it because we love it. And that doesn't just happen. So that's part of the process of education, ought to be a part of the process of Christian education, is developing an appetite. And I think school trips can aid in that. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this: train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I have heard it said this way: train up or touch the palate of a child when he is, see this right? Touch the palate of a child in the way that he should. Touch the palate of a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. The appetite, now he's not. How often do you lose something that you really love, that you really enjoy? You hang on to it. It's like the last thing that you let go. And that's maybe more a homework for the parents, but I think the same principle can be brought into the school, and that we have that vision to touch, arouse, excite the desire to learn more and look deeper into some of these subjects that we have our children engaged in. Class trips should be designed to aspire and develop an appetite, a keen interest to gain more knowledge and create an insight of the subjects or subject that you're studying on. Last question. How are we able to direct these off-site trips in a meaningful manner that contributes to the work of Christian school? Look at this a little bit. Number one, it is highly important that your class is experiencing presently a high, happy, healthy classroom environment. A class trip will not develop that, what could be other terminology? I put high, happy, healthy here. Simply using something that sticks. I think you know what I mean. A good classroom environment where the children are learning well, a classroom trip can be very, very beneficial in just adding to and making it yet more real. But the classroom trip will not produce that environment in your classroom. Number two, size your classroom trips to your student age. This is new stuff. I wouldn't even have to say it, but it is important. It's no point in taking the grade one students to the parliaments. It likely will be a lost time, right? So just as an example or something to think about. You know, when you think of Romans 13, I wrote it down somewhere here. Romans 13 verses 1 and 7 talks about authority of the land and how they are called by God to execute judgment and deal with wrongdoing in that. And by having your students either going to the police office or having the police officer come in, you know, there is a right way of going down the road and there's a wrong way. And, you know, these are punishments for stealing and this, so forth. Lower grades and so on could benefit much from that, you know, learning which side road to bike and all this stuff. I remember we had the policeman at our school, and maybe the middle grades and up, going to the courtroom and seeing what happens with people that actually violated and offended the truth or the right and wrong, the laws of the land. And then later they go to the parliaments and they learn that, you know, these people are all under the authority, and they're also, we get a picture by the time they get out of school, they have the picture, the sequence and of authority there, and that they're called of God to be there for our good and so forth. But sizing your class trips to your student age. Have a goal. What you want to accomplish going to this trip. Have students involved in discussing and planning. Help plan the event. That way they are engaged already. Their mind is going that direction. And I think that can be helpful. Number four, very, very important one, and that's do very careful planning. As we heard this morning, there's a lot of stuff we don't want our children exposed to, a lot out there. So school boards, you can be very helpful and effective in seeking and searching through all that, making sure that this school class trip is going to be a safe educational trip. It's going to take hard work, effort to plan the details. Many things you're going to want to avoid, eliminate. And there's a few things that you're going to find very useful. So sort through all that. There's a place and time to go, and there's a place and time not to go. And I don't have to tell you, brethren, where to go with that. But be very careful in what you expose your children to. You will be accountable for that. Little eyes, they pick up a lot of stuff. They see a lot of things, and they don't miss much. So be careful. Prepare reports for the students. They go out. There's certain things you want to learn when you go out there. And what that does when they come back, it gives you a basis to discuss. And it can be very beneficial when they come back from the classroom. They've got their blanks filled in. These are things we endeavored to learn, and this is what they learned. And it's geared towards education. And then go with adequate staff to coordinate your class trip. The endeavor goes easily and smoothly. It can be hectic if it's not balanced right that way. And another point I have here, and that is make it an enjoyable and refreshing educational day. Plan some things in there that are enjoyable and refreshing to them. Recently, or it was last year, we had this little school over there at Belmore. There was 5 students there. And they were all one family. And this family, it was a large family, actually. And the older siblings, there must have been about 4 or 5 that are out of school already, and they all got a job in the community on dairy farms. And that was the thing to do. And lately, almost the only thing to do. I didn't teach them that, but they were strong in that. This is pretty much what you do for a living is milk cows. That's if you do that, lately, rest of life will go pretty good. And we decided maybe it'd be good to just open their eyes to something totally different. And we wonder what that could be. We thought a little bit. The school board decided, well, how be we call rainbow signs and just expose them to something totally different. Rainbow signs, say, the Souter boys there, they do paintings and that kind of stuff, do a great work there. And I talked with them, and they were just very open to that. So we scheduled a time and play a time for this event, and we went over, and we had just a real good time. And the little ones, they get their name put in on this computer, and then it'll stencil their name out. And I'll just show you a little bit. Not a very, very good job here, but I was one of the ones there, and that's what we came away from. They had these little frames made up, and they all put their name in there, and black and then red, and then I'm not sure what colors they all had, and then dried a little bit and then sanded over and then pounded with a chain yet, and we ended up with something like that. And they were totally thrilled with, and they had their name in there, they could take that home. Nelson made these boxes up. When we start beating them with the chains, he was worrying how these nails are going to hold up, but it actually went out pretty good. But that was an afternoon well spent. And likely my highlight is on the back, I got Grandpa Nelson Souter's autograph on the back. So that was likely what makes the most valuable for me. So just a little tip, sometimes you simply go out of the box and pick something totally different. But I think there was education for them. Life has a lot more to offer than milk cows. May the Lord bless.